Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Inshallah, we will start today's proceedings with some recitation of the Quran by Hafiz Muhammad Harith, inshallah.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ومن آياته أن خلقكم من تراب ثم إذا أنتم بشر تنتشرون. ومن آياته أن خلق لكم من أنفسكم ومن آياته أن خلق لكم من أنفسكم أزواجا لتسكنوا إليها وجعل بينكم مودة ورحمة إن في ذلك لآيات لقوم يتفكرون. ومن آياته خلق السماوات والأرض واختلاف ألسنتكم وألوانكم إن في ذلك لآيات للعالمين. ومن آياته منامكم بالليل والنهار وابتغاؤكم من فضله إن في ذلك لآيات لقوم يسمعون. ومن آياته يريكم البرق خوفا وطمعا وينزل من السماء ماء فيحيي به الأرض بعد موتها إن في ذلك لآيات لقوم يعقلون. ومن آياته أن تقوم السماء والأرض بأمره ثم إذا دعاكم دعوة من الأرض إذا أنتم تخرجون. وله من في السماوات والأرض كل له قانتون. وهو الذي يبدأ الخلق ثم يعيده وهو أهون عليه وله المثل الأعلى في السماوات والأرض وهو العزيز الحكيم. صدق الله العظيم.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد, رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي Subhanaka la ilma lana illa ma 'allamtana innaka antal alimul hakim. My dear respected ulama, brothers, sisters, my dear niece Sumayya, my family listening at home, and also Hafiz Hassan, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. I begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Lord of the worlds, and sending blessings and salutations upon our beloved messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, today is a very blessed day. It is firstly the day of Jumu'ah, the best of days, and we have just recited our Jumu'ah Salah. And now inshallah, after the short talk, a nikah will be taking place. My niece Sumayya will inshallah be marrying Hafiz Hassan. Now before the actual nikah takes place, I just wanted to spend a little time and give them as well as everyone else some special advice which will inshallah be both relevant and beneficial. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created a perfect system where everything is in balance. Every part of His creation has its place in this system and a particular role to fulfill. Us as humans also have our part to fulfill in this system by following and fulfilling the roles assigned to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And our purpose on this earth is to fulfill the obligations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as shown by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. However, we still have our personal needs. We need to eat, we need to clothe ourselves, we need to have a roof over our heads. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Maulana mentioned, has made us social creatures. So we also need companionship. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in His infinite wisdom, created a pair of the same species, but of different genders. We have males and we have females. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created both for each other and has given us the wonderful gift of marriage, of nikah, where a unique bond is created between two people. And when this bond is created, each of the spouses will now have rights over each other which they must fulfill. Now I wanted to share some of the advice of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam when it comes to marriage. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu narrates, "We migrated with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam while we were young men who had nothing." Meaning when they migrated from Makkah to Medina, they literally left everything behind and came empty-handed. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "O young men, you should get married, for indeed it helps in lowering the gaze and protecting the private parts. Whoever among you is not able to marry, then let him fast, for indeed fasting will diminish his desire." Mufti Sayyid Ahmad Palampuri, rahimahullah, in the commentary of this hadith, says the word al-aba'a means garbasaw. What does garbasaw mean? Means settle down. So if you have the ability and means to get married, you should get married as soon as possible. So once a male has a means to support his wife or support a wife, they should start the search looking for a wife. And this will lead them to a more chaste life and there will be less probability of them falling into sin. And when a female comes of age, it is also time for her family to also start looking for a spouse for her. Now, one of the greatest challenges we face today is finding a suitable match for marriage, whether it is for yourself or for your children or for your siblings. First and foremost, when searching for a suitable partner, it is imperative that the aqidah, the belief of the person, is the same as yours. Many times in a marriage, these factors are ignored in the beginning and later on in life can cause challenges, especially when it comes to the children. For example, what school of thought will they follow? What madrasa will they go to? What masjid will they go to? Who should they go to learn about Islam? The list goes on. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us advice on all aspects of our life, including what qualities to search for in a spouse. The following hadith is in Sahih al-Bukhari. An Abi Hurayra radiyallahu anhu, anna Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qala, "Tunkahu al-mar'atu li-arba'in, li-maliha wa li-hasabiha wa jamaliha wa li-diniha, fadfar fi dhati dini taribat yadak." Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a woman should be married for four things: for her wealth, her family status, her beauty, and her religion. So you should marry the religious woman, otherwise may your hands be covered in dust. Now, marriage is supposed to be a permanent bond. It is the most complex, fragile, difficult, and challenging relationship. Hence, the more factors which are common and compatible between the couple will inshallah help in nurturing the relationship and keeping it permanent. All four schools of thought are agreed upon the principle of kafa'at, which means equality between the couple. Imam Malik rahimahullah only considers kafa'at equality in piety. Are both couple on the same level in matters of religion and practicing Islam? For example, a male who is not practicing and does not follow the dictates of Sharia will not be considered the equal of a pious practicing woman. Alhamdulillah, today we have quite a unique situation where not only we have a hafiz getting married, but he's also getting married to a hafiza, subhanallah. Yeah? So now you can listen to each other's door as well. Yeah? So you don't need to go to anybody else. So you've got kafa'at there, you've got level playing field. We continue to look at the other points. The other imams also look at hasab and nasab, meaning the family and lineage, the wealth and occupation of both. And other factors could also be the level of education both have received from both a secular and Islamic perspective. Now, being realistic, the probability of finding someone who's going to tick all of the boxes is going to be pretty slim. My wife got it, by the way. Anyway, some people may keep waiting for Mr. Right and Mrs. Right, and he or she may never turn up. Therefore, we must be realistic and flexible, making sure we don't compromise on the core values of aqidah and piety, but have some leeway for the others. When a suitable match is found, the groom will pay the wife a dowry, which we call the mahar. Islam places no demands on the woman or her family. In other cultures, many women are unable to marry due to the extortionate dowries which are demanded by the groom and his family. We hear many stories of pressure and abuse faced by the bride and her family due to this reason. Now, in the days of ignorance, there were many different ways of performing nikah. All of them were put to an end except the way which is still common today, which we will do today. Because those ways were indecent and shameless practices. Now, when a marriage takes place, it should be announced. There's a hadith an Aisha radiallahu anha qalat, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a'linu hadha nikaha waj'aluhu fil masajid. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, announce this marriage and hold them in your masajid. And this is the best way to announce the marriage in front of the congregation in the masjid. And this is what we are doing today. So this is also part of the sunnah and advice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, when we are taking this important step of marriage, we need all the help we can get, especially the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all the way from the beginning, and we need to make sure we don't do anything to take away the barakah from our marriage, and even more seriously anger Rasul Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during this time. Unfortunately, weddings have been occasions where many acts are committed against Sharia. Sometimes the family are under pressure from their relatives to conform to certain customs, many of which are completely baseless in our religion. Music, free mixing, the list goes on. We need to ask ourselves, who will help us at these times? Those people who we are trying to make happy, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whose help with which we cannot live? And Nawas ibn Sim'an radiallahu anhu narrates that our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the creation should not be obeyed if it causes disobedience to the Creator. So in every action, if someone is asking us to do something which displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there should be no question at all in refusing to comply. Don't worry about what they will think. Rather, we should worry about what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will think if we carried out this disobedient action. Now, once the couple are married, both husband and wife will have rights over each other. And marriage is a relationship not only between the couple, but between two families as well. Each of the families must try their best to include the new addition and make them feel part of their family. An easy way to achieve this is that we should ask ourselves, when my son gets married or my daughter gets married, how do I want her in-laws to treat him? How do I want her in-laws or his in-laws to treat him? Do you understand the point I'm getting at? How we want our children to be treated by their in-laws, this is the same way we should be treating the new addition to our family. In the same way we would want our son or daughter to be treated. Now, many times we will welcome our daughter-in-law into our houses. We have to remember she will have left her family behind. So it will be even a more sensitive time for her. So please take this into consideration. We don't know who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen for us. It might be someone who lives close by, or it might be someone who lives far away, even in another country. We don't even know what events or circumstances could lead to a person finding a spouse. As parents, we need to supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He chooses the best spouse for our child, who will be good for their iman, and they have a permanent bond together, full of mutual love and respect. I just want to conclude with a lovely story which shows how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can bring two people together under the most amazing circumstances through the du'as of a parent. Qadi Abu Bakr says, when he was a student in Makkah, one day he was very hungry and he couldn't find any food. On his way home, he found a small pouch, a small velvet pouch, and it was neatly tied with a tassel. He picked this pouch up and he returned home with it. And when he opened it up, he found a beautiful pearl necklace, the likes of which he had never ever seen before. Later on, Qadi Abu Bakr went out and he saw an old man. Now this old man had 500 dinars in a cloth, which is a lot of money. And he was crying out loudly, "This is the reward for the one who returns me a pouch with a pearl necklace." Now Qadi Abu Bakr thought to himself, "I'm hungry, I'm poor, I could benefit from this money by returning this necklace to the old man." So he first went to the old man and said to him, "Come with me to my house." Why? Because he needed to prove that actual necklace belonged to the old man first. The old man was asked, described the necklace, described the pouch, and he described the pouch, the tassels, even the number of beads that were in the necklace. Qadi Abu Bakr then took out the pouch and handed it to him. The old man then gave him the reward of 500 dinars. Qadi Abu Bakr refused to take the reward. Even though he was starving, he said it was necessary for him to return the pouch without any reward. The old man insisted, but he still refused to take any money. After some time, Qadi Abu Bakr says, "I left Makkah and I traveled by sea. The vessel which was carrying us was wrecked and many people were drowned. I managed to hold on to a piece of the vessel and continued to float on the ocean, not knowing where my destination would be. I finally drifted onto an island which was inhabited by Muslims. I went to one of their masajid and started to recite the Quran. When they heard me recite it, a number of them requested that I teach them the Quran correctly, and I started to teach them and was paid well for my services." The people then asked him, "Can he write?" He said he could. So then they asked him to teach their children how to write as well. So now they started to bring their children to him to learn how to write. And very soon he became independent. After some time, the people on the island said to him, "It's time that you should get married. And there's a local orphan girl who you should get married to." Qadi Abu Bakr refused, but they kept on insisting, but he finally agreed. After the nikah was completed, she was taken to him. Qadi Abu Bakr could not take his gaze away from her, because around her neck was the same pearl necklace which he had found many, many years ago. The people said to him, "Oh Shaykh, you will break her heart by staring at the necklace and not at her." Qadi Abu Bakr then narrated the whole story to the people, and they all shouted the takbir, "Allahu Akbar." The people then told him that the old man he had met was in fact the father of this girl. And he used to say, "Regarding you, he has never met a more truthful Muslim, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring him to us so that I could marry him to my daughter." And the dua of his was now fulfilled. Subhanallah. Qadi Abu Bakr then says that he lived with his wife and was blessed with two sons from her. When she passed away, I inherited the necklace from her with my two sons, and later my two sons also passed away, so I became the sole owner of this necklace. I eventually sold it for 100,000 dinars, subhanAllah. Initially it was 500 dinars a reward for returning it. In return he got 100,000 dinars. Now what an amazing story. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answered the supplication of the old man, and through his daughter, through this, his daughter and Qadi Abu Bakr found their way to other. The lesson for us here is to be truthful and honest at all times in whatever we do, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inshallah bless us and put barakah into our lives. Now as the married couple continue their life's journey with each other, they must always support each other when it comes to fulfilling the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Go for hajj together as soon as it becomes farad upon you. And at all times, always be sensitive to each other's feelings. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the ability to benefit from this brief advice. And for all those who are looking for a spouse, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them the best and most suitable one of them. For all of us who are already married, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to fulfill each other's rights, increase our love and respect for each other every day, and make our children the coolness of our eyes. Inshallah, we shall now commence with the nikah. Hafiz Hassan, groom, Sumayya, Asif, you're the representative of the bride, Isa and Adam, witnesses. So Asif, have you asked Sumayya her permission to get married to Hafiz Hassan? Adam, Isa, were you both present when he asked her permission and you heard her agree?
Yes.
Are you sure? 100%? Okay. Asif, do I have permission to commence the nikah? Okay. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا وقال الله تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون وقال الله تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما صدق الله العظيم وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم النكاح من سنتي وقال فمن رغب عن سنتي فليس مني. Hafiz Hassan, do you take Sumayya Dabhad as your wife in front of all those present as witnesses for the agreed mahar of Mahr Fatim, which has already been paid?
I
agree. Repeat after me. Nakahtuha
wa
qabiltuha. Barakallahu laka wa baraka alayka wa jama'a baynukuma fi khair. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma anta as-salam wa minka as-salam wa tabarakta ya dhal jalali wal ikram. لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له الملك وله الحمد يحيي ويميت بيدك الخير وعلى كل شيء قدير اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو عفو عنا يا كريم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وقنا عذاب الحشر وقنا عذاب الفقر وقنا عذاب الدين وحشنا يوم القيامة مع المتقين وعلى الأبرار ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم أجرنا من النار يا مجير يا مجير يا مجير ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا وأخطأنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملت على الذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا
أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب اللهم إنا نسألك العفو والعافية في الدنيا والآخرة اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفو والعفاف والغنى oh Allah, please bless this marriage, oh Allah, please bless this marriage, oh Allah, please bless this marriage, oh Allah. Oh Allah, please make this marriage full of mutual love, mutual respect, mutual consideration. Oh Allah, please make Hassan and Sumaya love each other, oh Allah, till the end of days. Oh Allah, please make their bond permanent, oh Allah. Oh Allah, please put lots of barakah. Shower your barakah, shower your blessing, shower your mercy upon this marriage, oh Allah. Oh Allah, please keep the union strong between both husband and wife, oh Allah. Please keep the union strong between both families, oh Allah, as well. Oh Allah, we are sending our daughter to a new family, oh Allah. We ask that you look after her, oh Allah. And we ask that you give her and Hassan the ability to be enough for each other and to fulfill each other's rights, oh Allah. We ask for everybody here who is already married, oh Allah, to give them the ability to fulfill the rights of their partner, oh Allah. All those people out there who are having issues in their marriage, oh Allah, please resolve all of these issues, oh Allah. All of those people out there who are finding problems finding a spouse, oh Allah, please give them the ability to find a suitable spouse who would be the best for them and the best for their iman. Oh Allah, all those people out there who are having issues with their children, oh Allah, please resolve these issues, oh Allah. There are so many things happening all over the world, our brothers and sisters in Palestine, in Gaza, everywhere, oh Allah. Oh Allah, please relieve the whole ummah from all types of trials, all types of tribulations, oh Allah, all types of issues, oh Allah. And please give us all the ability to fulfill all of your obligations in the way shown by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Subhanu rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun alal mursalin, walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin, bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.